It used to be when Rav Eliyashiv Zichrono Livracha was alive, every year around Yom Kippur, I would start getting the emails with links to important halachic sources like the Yeshiva World News and Matzav.com that say, Rav Eliyashiv Paskins, you're not allowed to wear Crocs. And as if it was like a new psak that Rav Eliyashiv just came out with, and people were thrown into a tizzy, what do I do now? What am I supposed to wear in Yom Kippur? Am I allowed to wear Crocs in Yom Kippur or not? So I want to talk a little bit about what appropriate footwear is for Yom Kippur. What about Crocs? What about, I think, what are the sliders? Am I saying?
Slides,
right. Sliders are the little hamburgers. Right. So slides. Okay, so, or any of the other, or sneakers, or any of the other footwear that's other than regular shoes, is one permitted to wear that on Yom Kippur? So, it's important to realize where all of this comes from. There are five inuyim that are listed in the Mishnah Maseches Yuman, Dafayin Gimlam and Beis, chamesh inuyim that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, and there's a question in the Rishonim whether all of these, and one of those inuyim is Ni'ilas HaSandal. Notably, the Gemara never makes a chilek between leather shoes and non-leather shoes, it just calls it Ni'ilas HaSandal. Don't wear shoes. You can't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. That's one of the Chamesh Inuyim. There is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Shari Inuyim, other than Achil and Shtia is one. A lot of times in elementary schools and preschools, kids come home from school and they learn the five Inuyim, but they have eating, drinking, they count them as two, because what are they going to teach the kids? Tashma Shamita? So they don't. They leave that one out. So they fill in the extra one with eating and drinking. But eating and drinking is really one. So it's machlokas whether eating and drinking is definitely daraisa. It's machlokas whether the shar inuyim are daraisa as well. Tosus Maseches Yuma Dafayin Zayin Amar Alef Dibra Maskel Ditnan writes that they are only midrabanan. Aye, what about the fact that the Gemara quotes psukim to define Ni'ilas HaSandal as an inoy? Those psukim are a smachta. When it's an smachta, it's really still a din midrabanan. And his raya that it's a din midrabanan, he says if you learn through the sugya, there's a whole list of kulas that the Gemara has of who is allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. It tells us that a melech is allowed to wear shoes, a kala is allowed to wear shoes, a yoledes is allowed to wear shoes. How could the Rabbanon come up with all these kulas if this were a din d'oraisa? So it must be that it's a din midrabanan. However, the Ran over there disagrees, and his raya is from the Gemara in Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph and Maseches Yuma that distinguishes between achila v'shtia versus the rest of the inuyim by saying that achila and shtia are the only ones for which you are chayiv kares. The rest of them you're not chayiv kares, says the Ran. If the rest of them were only midrabanan, I really need you to tell me that I'm not chayiv kares? Of course you're not chayiv kares for something that's only midrabanan. Plus, if the rest of them are midrabanan, and you really wanted to draw a contrast between achil and shtia and the rest of the inuyim, wouldn't the stronger contrast have been that these are d'oraisa and the rest of them are d'rabanan? But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says kares versus non-kares, and therefore the Ran says that it must be that these shari inuyim are also aser mida oraisa. Now, what about all the kulas that we have in the Gemara? How did Chazal come up with all these kulas? How are they permitted to implement all these kulas against the din min haTorah? Says the Ran, that doesn't bother me, because the Torah never explicitly identifies Ni'ilas HaSandal, and since the Torah never states it explicitly, that's the Torah's way of hinting to the Chachamim that this is within their jurisdiction to define the Isser, to give the parameters of the Isser. Oh, very similar to Chol HaMoed. You have in a lot of different places where the Rabbanon have the right to help shape and define the parameters of what is in fact a din midaraisa. But that's the prime example because that's where the Gemara uses it. The Gemara says that in Maseches Moed Katan. Now the question then becomes, so what constitutes a shoe? It says Ni'ilas HaSandal, but it doesn't say much more about it. It doesn't say anything about leather or anything else. So there are three shitos quoted by the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Yudalet, three shitos of Rishonim. The Balaam Or holds anything that protects the foot is a shoe. So if you put it on because you don't want to walk outside barefoot, that is a shoe. Rashi, however, says that it's only a shoe if it's made out of leather or wood. Leather or wood is a shoe. The Rif and the Rush seem to say only leather, that leather is the definition of a shoe. Anything other than leather is not a shoe. The Rambam, Shvisa Sasa, Perakim, Allah Chazayin, is not so clear exactly what constitutes a shoe, But when you have the Rif and the Rush in agreement with each other, you don't need the Rambam's vote to know what the Shulchan Aruch is going to say. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, even though I'm not sure what the Rambam holds about this issue, I know how to paskin. I paskin like the Rif and the Rush, that only leather is a shoe. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Tafreis Yudal Sivkat Nei quotes from the Elia Rabbah that it's appropriate to follow Rashi. And he concludes that Ein Mochin on those who follow the Pesach, we're not going to object to them, but it's better to be more machmir and to only wear cloth slippers, something that does not provide ample protection to the foot. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan Tafresh Yadalit Siv Dalit suggests this as well. And Nefesh HaRav on page 210, Rav Shachter quotes Rav Soloveitchik, also discouraged wearing comfortable footwear on Yom Kippur. He thought you should wear more of a slipper type of thing, not something that you can go walking or running in or something of that nature. The Chassam Sofer also writes that you can't wear shoes that you won't feel the surface of the ground, that it's supposed to provide such minimal protection that if you step on a pebble, you should feel that pebble. You should feel the cracks in the surface of the ground beneath you. It's interesting that Rav Sternbach has a totally different take on this. In Mo'adim Uzman Mechelik Vav Sim L'Chav Ches, Rav Sternbach writes that, let's say we're making like the Shulchan Aruch, which is a reasonable thing to assume, that only leather shoes are included in this Isser. So we want to be making like the Shulchan Aruch. But he says, why is it that only leather shoes are included in the Isser? Because it used to be that's what people wore every day. And the real ikker point, says Rav Sternbach, is if you really want to get at least the spirit of the law, and perhaps even the letter of the law, is to not wear the shoes that you wear every single day. It should be something less than the shoes you wear every day, which would turn out very interesting if you were to ask Rav Sternbach, may one wear Crocs on Yom Kippur? The answer would be, who is one? Is it a high school kid who wears Crocs every day because that's what's most comfortable? My shul wears Crocs. He's a podiatrist who wears Crocs all the time, every day, because he's on his feet all day, so he just wants to wear something comfortable and he can wear whatever he wants. So if you wear Crocs every day, then no. But if you don't, you normally wear more sophisticated footwear. No offense to the Crocs company, they have some very nice Crocs, but sophisticated, you normally wear some more sophisticated footwear, so then Rav Sternbach would say Crocs would be fine. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in Halicha Shon Perkei Os Yud Zayin that we're makel completely on this issue. We only stay away from leather shoes. Everything else is totally fine. So it wasn't Rav Yashiv that invented the Shita. Rav Yashiv was paskening, like what the Mishnah Berurah recommends, the Chachila, what the Aruch HaShulchan recommends, the Chachila, not to wear comfortable shoes. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says the minig is not that way. The minig is to do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The debate might revolve around the nature of Inui. What exactly is the mitzvah of Inui? Is the mitzvah of Inui to suffer? Or is the mitzvah of Inui not to luxuriate? Meaning if one does not feel a great sense of luxury when one is wearing Crocs, you wouldn't wear them to a chasana, right? But when you if the issue were to suffer, you're certainly not suffering by wearing comfortable sneakers or Crocs or something like that. It may touch on other issues related to Yom HaKippurim and Inui, taking maybe slow-release tablets before Yom Kippur, where you're sort of making the Inui a lot less, or there's a discussion in the Aruch HaShulchan Tafresh Yud Beis about snuff, smelling tobacco that people would use to enjoy the Simchas HaYom of Yom Kippur without eating. I would not recommend using tobacco products at all. It's very, very dangerous. But anyway, what's called a leather shoe? How do we define what is considered leather, what's not? Meaning a lot of times there's a little bit of leather, but not that much. So how do we define what is leather, what's not? So the Matan Ephraim Tafresh Yud Dalet Siv Beis says that a leather sole, definitely a problem. Maram Shik in the Tshuva and Siman Shin Tes Zayin, leather stitching, if it holds the shoe together, he says it's also a problem. However, the Kaf HaChaim in Tafresh Yud Dalet Siv Kot Nun just points out that if it's leather shoelaces, so it's not holding the shoe together, it just helps to strap the shoe onto your foot, that's no problem. It would seem clear that leather designs on top of the shoe, in the old days when Nike used to have the swoosh made out of leather and it wasn't made out of synthetic material like it is now, so that would not be a problem. They just want to have the Nike swoosh made out of leather. That's just a design, so it's not really provide any support. It's not a significant part of the shoe. If it looks like a leather shoe, now they make like a lot of shoes that are extremely cheap. They're like plastic. I don't know what they're made out of actually, and they look just like leather shoes. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, excuse me, in Halicha Shlomo Perek Hey Os Tezayin says that it's Asr Misha Maris Ha'ayin, especially since the Gemara itself uses the term Maris Ha'ayin Dafka in this sugya when it talks about not wearing shoes on Yom Kippurim. But in the footnote in Halicha Shlomo, it says, not so sure if Rav Shlomo Zalman would have seen nowadays how many shoes there are like that, where a lot of times people would be able to tell right away there's just so many shoes on the market like that, that he would still call that Maris Ha'ayin. That really relates to a sugya in Basar B'Chalav. There's a whole sugya about chalav shkedim. Can you have almond milk on the table at a meat meal? So the Ramah writes that you're supposed to have almonds next to it so that you could recognize that it's almond milk. So nowadays you have non-dairy creamer. Can you not have non-dairy creamer in that little metal pitcher or something at a fleishig restaurant? So the kula that the poskim use is that non-dairy creamer is so popular, it's so common now, it's no longer a Maris Ha'ayin issue. So if you're sameich on that by Basar B'Chalav, then Mestami could be sameich over here as well, that it's no longer a Maris Ha'ayin issue. We'll just conclude with a couple of exceptions to the Yisr. The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Yudalet Siv Gimel writes that women who are chayos, which he assumes means within 30 days of childbirth, it's interesting, the Arsameach and Shvi says also, Perikim Alachas says, no, a chaya doesn't mean a woman within 30 days of childbirth. A chaya means a midwife. She's going to need to wear leather shoes because she's got to run to the next delivery. But the woman who's within 30 days of childbirth is enjoying in bed. She doesn't have to do much anyway. She's recovering from giving birth to a child. But anyway, Shulchan Aruch paskins that someone within 30 days of childbirth or a chola is allowed to wear leather shoes. And the Mishnah Berurah explains this because they're very vulnerable to cold weather. However, in Nishmas Avram, Simitav Reish Yudal Tzival, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that nowadays there's no reason for a chola or a woman who had just given birth to be wearing leather shoes, because nowadays there are so many types of comfortable footwear that a woman could wear. She's not going to feel anything missing if she, or she's not going to leave herself any more vulnerable to illness if she wears sneakers or something else that does not have leather. So Rav Shlomo Zalman yatsa kulaso chumraso, because he's mekel and he says that the whole issur is only leather shoes and we don't have to be machmir anything beyond that, so it turns out that he's going to be more machmir on the women who just gave birth and on the cholim, because anyway it's no big deal for them to not wear leather shoes.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Giveback Benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.